You're listening to the Strategic Marketing Podcast with James Ateen and special guest Garen Nahabedian.
Hello. Boop. Beep. Bah.
Sure, I can talk. I can use lots of B's and P's and whistles, do some heavy breathing, laugh a little bit. see what you think. Great. Okay, let's leave that off. Hello, I'm James Ateen. I'm teaching on the Strategic Marketing Program, and I've invited Garen Nahabedian, one of the founders of Tenzing Natural Energy, to join me in a discussion of some really interesting themes. Garen has worked for 5 years at Tenzing Natural Energy, where he's helped to build a very powerful energy drink brand, and having played a fundamental role in marketing and selling that brand, he's now left to advise some challenger brands as a consultant in other categories. And it's going to be great to hear not only Garen's journey, what he's learned on that journey, but also get some tips for our students on how they can join startup insurgent brands and make a big impact in the marketplace. So Garen, it's great to have you with us for our Strategic Marketing Podcast. And we're looking forward to hearing about your experiences at Tenzing and thoughts on the importance of challenger brands. Perhaps you could start with telling us a bit more about your story, how you found Tenzing Natural Energy, and share your journey to where you are today as a consultant to some growth brands.
Yes. Hi, James. And thank you all for being part of this podcast about my experience at Tenzing. So it all started 7 years ago when I moved to London. And I didn't know what I wanted to be. I didn't know if I wanted to be a banker or get into one of these big consultancy firms or even work in a marketing firm. So I was going to a few lectures given by either the HSBC director or the Saatchi & Saatchi marketing manager. And one of them was Hub after he left Red Bull as a marketing director. And the talk was about marketing in general, but he also talked about Tenzing, which was going to be one of his first startups. I met Hub, and he talked more about Tenzing, and he talked about his vision of building one of the first natural energy brands in the world. And then I told him, I have to be part of this. Just hire me. I work for free, and let's actually build one of the biggest energy brands in the world from scratch. I started off with only a can, going out from one corner store to another, just trying to sell them this new innovation, plant-based energy drink, which was completely different and completely hard to sell at the beginning. Just imagine a convenience store owner convincing them to buy a healthy energy drink, which is almost impossible. So we went ahead. We started opening a few convenience stores. We saw a few health stores buy into it, like Plant Organic, and it's just started kicking off.
That's fantastic. So one of the challenges really is natural energy is something of a jargon term, and you hear in cosmetics, you hear clean, so you shouldn't buy things that have parabens and so on. And tell us a bit more about why Tenzing's natural and why it attracted you as such a powerful mission in terms of going natural.
Well, there are trends that are here to stay. So health is something at the forefront of the food and beverage category. People want to be healthy, but they don't know where to start. And within food and within the beverage industry, we decided to be at the forefront of it by creating an energy drink that's completely made out of natural ingredients, ingredients that you can actually pronounce, and ingredients that that are functional and come directly from nature. So we created Tenzing. That's made out of 7 natural ingredients with no artificial ingredients, no chemicals, and absolutely no sweeteners. And we decided to change the whole category mindset of the energy category.
So did you find any resistance when you were trying to sell Tenzing into grocery stores, health stores around? Well, if you've taken out the sugar, surely natural sweeteners exist. Have you put natural sweetener in there, or does it taste bad? What kind of cynicism did you get from potential distributors of your brand?
Depending which depending where you're trying to sell it to. But in general, it people actually believed in it. People thought, oh wow, yeah, natural energy, a natural energy drink will work. In the end of the day, energy drinks are the value drivers of supermarkets and stores. They everyone needs energy. Everyone needs more time during their day. So it was seen as a new thing that they wanted to back. So yes, a lot of questions did come up, as in why don't you have zero sugars, but why do you have 4.5 grams of sugar? A lot of brands do think that taking off the sugar and having zero sugar written all over the can is great, but no, it's horrible, because they'd put the zero sugar but add a lot of sweeteners instead, which is seen in brands like all the big brands, actually, like Coca-Cola. So having we didn't believe that zero sugar is good. We could have kept it zero sugar and zero sweeteners, but you do need a bit of sugar to keep on going. And the NHS also recommends that you need 4.5 grams of sugar per 100 milliliters to give you that to give you the sugar you need, and to also give you the energy.
Would you say that Tenzing and other natural energy competitors are the savior of the energy drinks category? Because if you think about it, Red Bull and Monster Energy have had loads of criticism. I saw one person calling it lager for kids, practically. There's so much caffeine, 300 milligrams, I'm pretty sure. I'm just going to try and find where it was here. 505 milligrams per can or bottle. So how do you see that in terms of healthiness, naturalness, and so on?
People need more education and awareness on what's happening in the food and beverage industry. There are so many brands that are claiming things that shouldn't be claimed from the beginning, but you are also seeing a whole shift from the past. Like, for example, in the old days when cigarette brands used to advertise that cigarettes were healthy. For example, more doctors smoke Camel cigarettes than any other brand, or Coca-Cola advertising sugar can be the willpower you need to undereat. I mean, what's going on? It's ridiculous. But you are seeing, through education and awareness, that more people are changing to healthier options. For example, the sugar tax being introduced 2 years ago in the UK, and sugar became at the forefront of unhealthy ingredients. So people started changing their diet into zero sugar options, or eating less sugary options. I think sweeteners are next. I don't think there's enough awareness yet for people to go off of sweeteners and to understand that artificial ingredients are bad. So yes, you are seeing a shift, but it does take time. These big brands like Relentless or Monster having these 500 mil energy drinks being consumed by 15-year-olds, I think that it's cool to drink these is absolutely horrible, and they're getting used to the wrong things. So there must be more education and awareness into this.
Well, I have a couple of questions from our students. So let's start with Vivian. Vivian says, the plant-based energy drink market isn't necessarily a blue ocean. Consumers are already familiar with brands that feature matcha or green coffee. And she asks, how did you address this competition and differentiate your product? She also adds, the Himalayan Sherpa branding was genius, by the way. So how did you address the competition and differentiate your Tenzing product?
Yeah, it is interesting, because the main thing that we want to do is trade new consumers into the energy category and trade up existing energy drink consumers from artificial to natural. So it So what we did is completely new in the category, but we're also changing the consumer mindset of the category. We're on a mission to do this. For us it does involve a lot of marketing and awareness to push consumers to trade up to premium or and healthier energy option.
I guess also, you know, matcha and green coffee, they're different consumption occasions, aren't they, for consumers than Tenzing, or are they considered alternatives?
No, they are different. They're also it's a different consumer, different experience, and it's you can see it as an indirect competition.
So you would probably see them all on the same kind of trend, you know, to basically get people to switch from unhealthier to more exciting, tastier alternatives, possibly, do you think?
Yes, it is a trend. And it's not only health, but it's also people want more innovation and they want more sustainable brands. And it's also here to stay.
It's here to stay. I did see, the other side of the argument here. I saw some really interesting stuff when I was looking at soft drinks data. So if you look at 2013 to 2019 in the UK, soft drinks, so all the carbonated and non-carbonated ones, have pretty much been flat in terms of category revenues. And yet, so there's no overall total category growth going on. But under the hood, if you like, there must be something going on in terms of switching, because it seems like natural energy, the subcategory you've kind of defined with Tenzing in some ways, or certainly have moved into and called more attention to, seems to be growing possibly at the expense of other subcategories, you know, the unhealthier energy drinks. So are people switching, or are you finding people are coming in from other places? What's going on in the kind of category dynamics in your mind?
It is interesting because you still see brands like Red Bull growing year on year, even though there is more health awareness happening. And for us, we believe that it's all incremental, because within natural energy, we're trading up consumers that never touch an energy drink in their life, because rightfully so, they can't, they're disgusted from it. So our main mission was to target these consumers, to tell them, yes, you don't drink energy drinks, rightfully so, but now you can have one guilt-free.
Yeah, no, I guess what I'm saying is the subcategory energy is growing, but actually the total soft drinks is not growing. So it's kind of flat. So people must be switching from other alternatives, you know, in the mix.
Oh, yes, definitely, yeah. Definitely. And you also see a lot of people switching from Coca-Cola to sparkling water. We can even see that in the alcohol industry, where people are switching from the Malibu drinks that are full of sugar to hard seltzers.
On the subject of hard seltzer, do you see that happening in the UK in the way it's happened in the US? Because it's grown phenomenally in the US in the last 2 years, hasn't it?
Oh, big time. Now you could, I see a new hard seltzer brand every week. It's insane how so many people are riding the wave. And I really do believe that everything starts in the US and then gradually comes to the UK and then goes to the East of the world. But yes, hard seltzers is something that's growing. And even within the alcohol industry, it's insane. It's booming because there's so much happening in there. For example, people go switching to low and no alcohol. I read a statistic that 24% of the UK population are actually having low and no alcohol alcoholic options now.
That's fantastic. No, thanks, Garen. I think that really helps bring it into perspective. In terms of coming back to Tenzing Natural Energy and its journey and your journey, I have another couple of questions from Alejandro from the students. The first one, first question is, Garen, Tenzing is competing with Red Bull and Monster, which combined have approximately 80% market share. As part of their strategy has been to reach customers through sponsoring events aligned with their brand. He asked whether Tenzing is planning to do something similar.
Yes, there's a lot within because what Tenzing wants to do is build a brand, not only a product, just like many of the energy brands have done. there's a lot of thought goes into how we're going to market it, the brand, and how we're going to get consumers to perceive the brand. And we didn't believe, what a lot of energy brands do, like Red Bull, for example, they advertise things that you wish you can do, but you can't, like doing three flips on a motorcycle. What we wanted to do is get the brand close to advertise the brand close to what people can actually do. So, for example, climbing Mount Everest, or surfing, or running marathons, triathlons. So everything you can do in nature, that's possible if you try hard, and that's the channel that we're focusing. Everything that's also eco-friendly. So, for example, I doubt that Tenzing will ever be seen advertising Formula One, for example, because of the environmental impact it has. So everything that's done in nature in the most sustainable way possible is what Tenzing is in. And I mean, what Monster and Red Bull have done is incredible, because it kind of switched from a product to a marketing agency. Where people actually feel cool consuming them, because they feel like they're part of that community. They feel cool. They feel like they're in the Formula One team, or they feel like they're in the football team, or they feel like in Monster's case they're in a cool rock and roll band. So it is hard. It does involve a lot of marketing at Tenzing's case, but it's all about getting people to join your wave and join your mission.
So another question actually from Alejandro on a similar track here. So Tenzing's very attached to Nepal and mountains and pure air. And I know when we previously have, you've come and done some guest lectures at Imperial, you mentioned the clean air program and anti-pollution piece in London. But do you think a narrow approach around mountains and pure air could help the expansion of the brand in the short to midterm? You know, his comparison would be the multi-scenario approach that Red Bull or Monster is present in, from skydiving and inline skates, that kind of stuff.
Well, step by step, we did start at Tenzing with giving 5% of our profits to clean the environment, and the first project was done in Mount Everest along with the Tenzing family. But then we also shifted to running and giving 5% of our profits to fund an environmental project. So to have a clean air tracker that will enable people to run in the cleanest routes by going through the app and seeing how every street is affected by pollution. So step by step, it will get into an omni-channel marketing section. So it does require a lot of funding.
Oh yeah, I can imagine actually. I can imagine. So I have a couple of questions about social media, and then let's move on to you and your role and what you learned, because you were in a very senior position at a relatively young age, and I'm sure there's some great lessons in there for the students as they move through the career. But before we talk about that, let's talk about social media. How do you feel about the role of social media and marketing, in particular TikTok? Is there a company or a brand that you think uses TikTok well, for example?
I think what TikTok is doing is great. Their mission is their core value is that they don't advertise, they TikTok, and it's great for people to there's a lot of interaction. There's a lot of informal interaction that happens between the brands and customers that advertise through TikTok. So, I personally love what TikTok do, and I think every brand can be on TikTok and grow a lot of awareness there without actually intending to advertise. Any small idea can go extremely viral on TikTok. You just need to be creative enough to find that.
It's amazing. Actually, I saw a statistic today from The Grocer, and it said that Little Moon Mochi is up 700% at Tesco from, you know, this January compared to last December. So thanks to lots of TikTok activity. So it seems like it can reach a lot of young people very quickly.
Exactly. And I think one of the best things that this pandemic has given us is that people are more, they're more creative as they've ever been. They're just finding different ways to reach the audience and finding creative ways to almost get into their consumer's mind and understand what they're going through and tailor their messaging to that.
Oh, definitely. How did, let's come back to you. How did you know that Tenzing was the right fit for you? And how did customers react to you as someone young in a senior position? Do you think the two things are maybe related? Was it down to authenticity? You know, based on your experience, how did you build credibility, you know, in a senior sales role in a brand like Tenzing?
Well, for me, I want to make sure that I work in a company that exhibits or manifests myself. You have to absolutely be passionate in a company, and you have to believe in it so you can succeed. And Tenzing entering a whole new category that because I wasn't an energy drink consumer myself, and when I had Tenzing, I loved it, and it was something that, yes, I would consume. So because I believed in it, I was able to sell it, and I was able to go in front of a customer and passionately show that, yes, this is an incredible brand and you should have it. Why on earth are you not selling it? it was also very clear. It was quite simple as well, because if 30 billion times an energy drink is consumed artificially, but you can actually consume the ingredients that could derive completely from nature, then why on earth are you not going to the natural alternative? So it was almost easy. It was almost easy and straightforward to put it in. To consumer into the our customers' minds, but in the end of the day, we had to make sure we sold into the supermarkets. So there was a lot of, so yeah. To be honest, having that passion, I think, did help me a lot, and helped me be comfortable with supermarkets, regardless of my age.
So what skills did you learn from your time at Tenzing, and which have really been the biggest assets to you since?
Skills. To be honest, I think Tenzing was the best university I've ever had. And I think I have learned way more at Tenzing than I've learned in university, just because of building a brand from nothing, from scratch. But I'd say the three biggest learnings I've had was... first being the power of relationship, the power of networking. Talking to other brands that's also in the food and beverage industry, asking questions like, what do they do? What were their advantages and disadvantages? And what were their learnings? And also making sure who your customers are. Like, for example, at Sainsbury's, know who the buyer is, who the buyer's boss is, the buyer's boss's boss, or the buyer's associate. Even be best friends with the supply chain manager, or just drive energy within Sainsbury's for people to go around, for the internal team at Sainsbury's to go around and just talk about Tenzing. Other than that, be creative in every aspect. Creativity is key, and it also allows you to stand out from the direct and indirect competitors. So always find things to go against the status quo. Do things out of the norm.
On the subject of creativity, sorry to cut you off, Garen, was there ever a competitor's marketing campaign that stood out to you and you thought, wow, we should be doing that or something better than that, inspired by that?
Yes, there's always there's always a great competitors, a direct or indirect competitor marketing campaign where we looked at it and we're like, oh wow, this is great, but we always thought, okay, how can we do better? How can we get even more creative than this, or how can we get this and almost go with it? I think one thing that Tenzing did recently after I left was when BrewDog did their marketing campaign that says, sorry my language, but CO2, TFL did not let them market this, obviously because of its language. So that went viral on social media, and Tenzing decided to join them and join that marketing campaign and ride that wave as well. They put their can on CO2 as well, along with Beavertown's BrewDog's brand.
It's really interesting to hear that, actually, because I've always seen BrewDog as a very edgy brand. I mean, they're currently campaigning to have the airport that Donald Trump flies into in Scotland to visit his golf course. They're planning to rename it Joe Biden International or something. So they've always been very controversial and edgy. I've always seen Tenzing as a much more, I would say, kind of straight-laced kind of a culture. But actually, it feels like when it comes to taking a stand and in terms of brand relevance and what you stand for, Tenzing was actually probably didn't give Tenzing enough credit for that. Is that fair?
Well, BrewDog is one of these brands that I actually genuinely love. They've done it amazing, and the community they're building with their consumers by saying join the revolution and rebel against the beer industry through the edginess and loud unapologetic tone of voice is just incredible. The connection that they're building with their consumers is just so key, because that's what gets a challenger brand to succeed, to get closer. The fact that they're getting closer to their consumers, I always say that at a challenger brand, it's easy to persuade people to buy into them, but hard to seduce them to get into them. So that seduction aspect that BrewDog has is just great. And yes, Tenzing has done an incredible job, and there's a lot of thought that went through everything that Tenzing has done to make sure it gets closer to their consumers, and to make sure that every consumer think that they're riding the wave with them, and they feel like they're the founders of Tenzing as well.
That comes across really clearly. And I have one more creative question for you actually here, which is going to maybe require a little bit of thought, which is there a drink or another product that you would be interested in launching right now? Either something you've thought about already or something spontaneous. If you were going in to set something up brand from scratch right now, what would you do and why?
Oh, wow. That's the hardest question anyone has ever asked me. But I mean, awesome. I am always looking into what are the trends, what's going on in the food and beverage industry, but within drinks specifically, health and well-being is key, and within health and well-being, the mental state of people is being trying to almost help to help consumers be in a better mental state, especially after 2020. So what would I do is a massive question, but for example, I'm seeing biotech be huge. So biotech, for example, sourcing algae into a drink that has insane benefits, or CBD, which is actually growing. So almost build a brand that that does not have any scary, grodgy side effects, but helps you relax and sleep better. Actually, I was reading the other day that that adaptogens, the word adaptogens has been used more than ever within the food and drinks industry in 2020, where it's popping out on seltzers, CBD, and kombucha.
How have you applied the learnings from Tenzing to your recent switch to consulting?
It's always a learning to get into something new. I mean, I personally love the idea of learning different industries and sectors. So you just reach a point where the assimilation of knowledge comes under comes by osmosis. For me, getting into consultancy was is a big step, but at the same time, it was something that's very transferable and applicable to what I've learned. It's been very, very exciting after Tenzing, moving into consulting other challenger brands. I got into new sectors within drinks, for example, CBD brands, healthy soft drinks, biotech brands, but even going more towards food while working with an olive oil brand. And it's incredible because you reach a point where you're talking and learning more from founders themselves who have built these brands and are on a mission to change their consumer mindsets. For me it was a great move. Rather than working with one brand, I've been working with a few brands, and now my next step will be I'll be joining a new company within consultancy, but it's more tailored towards AI brand management consultancy, which is going to be a very exciting step for me to work and understand and learn more on how brands work, what makes brands grow faster, and how we can predict brands can go faster by using certain drivers.
Fantastic. Well, maybe once you've been in that role for a while, you can come back and give us some predictions for what's going to do well in the next few years. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming in to spend time with us and answer the students' questions. It's been fantastic hearing your perspective from inside Tenzing. And we hope to see you again soon for some more guest lectures.
Thank you very much, James, for having me. And no, I'll definitely be interested to come back for lectures. It's always great to give lectures at Imperial.
Fantastic.